I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Mel.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Janet. On a previous episode, we talked about the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival, and we reviewed more kind of the different types of ways that we celebrate the holiday. But this episode, we want to dig deeper into the core concepts of why this holiday exists and apply them to our lives right now. And the Mid-Autumn Festival was very recent. It was on September 21st on the Western calendar. On the lunar calendar, I believe it always happens on like the second, usually happens within mid-August. So in light of us just recently celebrating together and, you know, focusing on the moon, thinking about gathering, we're going to dig a little deeper today into the deeper concepts and meanings within this holiday and what they mean to us right now. So in this holiday, we've discussed a lot of kind of like the ways that we celebrate, some of the physical actions and the things that we eat. But we wanted to dig deeper into this episode to really understand the meaning of why we celebrate this holiday, for it to connect to each individual on a deeper level, right? Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the moon, in ancient Chinese culture, they oftentimes connected the moon with this idea of rejuvenation and also with like water. So this is why we talk about with the women's menstruation, they called women's periods basically monthly water, right? It's like a monthly like cleansing, renewing, restoring, if you want to think of it that way. Mm-hmm. So on this idea of rejuvenation and renewal and restoration, how do you ladies plan to think about renewing yourselves, restoring yourselves, and giving yourselves energy during this fall season?
So I broke it out from restoration and renewal. So restore, I want to continue with my mindfulness activities such as meditation, journaling every morning, and I want to continue reading books that I truly enjoy. And the last thing I kind of want to try doing is living alone. I think being away by myself in complete silence was amazing, and I realized how beneficial it is for me to be alone with no interruptions and distractions. So that's something I might be taking action on in the later year. In terms of renewal, I also came to the realization that I really value two things, and that is personal development and inner harmony. So for me, some action items I have planned for renewal is, one, spending time learning something new. I've always been intrigued with ongoing learning. I haven't really set the time to do that, and I do value novelty at this time. So new experiences. Mm-hmm. And the second thing I want to continue to do is digging into my identity as Mel. So that is, you know, that for me, that's listening to intentional podcasts that allows me to reframe certain thoughts or have a stronger understanding of my emotions. I really love doing the deep work to learn how I process things and understand my psyche, which is actually a big reason why I continue with therapy every month, just to be like, hey, help me understand these patterns of mine, because I really want to understand these things. And the last thing I feel that's an ongoing thing is understanding my family legacy and history. So I just want to spend some time learning about my family members, how they grew up, and how that plays a role in who I am now. I do have some time shelled out in the next couple of weeks and months to spend time with my extended family to just like learn about them. And I actually am spending time with some of the older people in my family, like my great aunties, my grandpa's younger sisters, to just to learn about, you know, how are they doing? What was it like growing up for them in Taiwan and Hawaii? So just to learn more about my family. So those are the things I plan on doing to restore and renew.
You know, as I hear you talk, I remember back to when I was around your age and going through some of the transitions of figuring out who I am and my identity. Mm-hmm. And we always think about that as like building something new, right? But what was interesting is I found going back historically and actually hanging out with much older people mm-hmm. was really helpful for me. When I was going through my major career transition stuff, like that 5-year period where it just felt really tumultuous and I kept seeking outward and going to like networking events and you know, like keeping up with trends to see like what is the thing that I'm looking for? When in reality, what really, really helped me was like the month that I had like in between programs when I had to be at home and my grandma was kind of sick, so she was staying with us. And I just spent morning to evening with my grandma, mm-hmm. my parents, and, you know, like just talking to them and not think. And it was those moments that really, I think, were like in my mind at the time, I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I'm like moving home, I'm not doing anything with my life.
Yeah.
But had I continued like progressing and searching outside or like working and living in a different city, I would have never had that time with my family. And I think to really understand on a deeper level, on a more basic level, who I am and what's important to me and what I'm good at even.
Yeah,
you know, you get a lot of those insights from the people that like made you, who you know, blood that you come from them.
Yeah.
I feel like you're in this like pivotal period of your life where you want to really just find what grounds you. Mm-hmm. And I think many times what grounds you is, you know, where you come from. And that's something that we don't dig deep enough into. Understanding your family's past, because I think a lot of times, even as kids, like we're raised by these people who shaped us and we don't even know where, you know, they come from. But the fact that you are making the time to really get to know these people and understand, you know, what it is that they really believe in and what they hold value to kind of gives you an insight as to who you were as a kid and how that's like influenced you as you are now. So I'm very glad that you're taking this trip.
Thank you. I'm excited too. I think one thing I learned when I was journaling in my soul retreat, I actually had my Enneagram personality pulled up because I was reading and I'm like, oh, this is why I get triggered by this, or this is why this. And then tying in like my family's background, it's just understanding of like who I am as a foundation. And like, I think I, when Janet, you're talking about like, you know, you're trying to network and do all these things, but your family is one that kind of pulls you back and grounds you. I just think of this, like, I have this image of this person tied to a rope, and she's just, like, walking in the darkness and going deeper and deeper into the darkness. In reality, she needs to go back to her house, and then the fog will clear so she knows exactly where to go.
Yeah.
So kind of, like, instead of aimlessly kind of walking around, I want to be, like, understanding my unit and my foundation so well that I know exactly what I need for me to even take strides forward versus like aimlessly taking steps.
Yeah.
So that's what I picture. So
that's a great analogy.
Yeah, Mel, there's this like beautiful quote from Maya Angelou that says, "You can't really know where you are going until you know where you have been."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a very beautiful quote. I love Maya Angelou. And how about you, Helen?
So for me, I love this question. So how do you plan to renew, restore, and give energy to yourself this autumn? I think for me personally, at this stage of my life, being pregnant and going through so many different challenges and changes and body transitions and uncertainties and also hopes and dreams and moments of extreme happiness, but also fear, I want to give myself more time.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, I feel a bit frantic with everything going on, still trying to finalize our house and furnish it, needing to build out closets. Like, we are at this point in our lives right now where we've been living out of our suitcase for, embarrassingly, almost like 2 months now because we've just been so busy to address the house stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, there are so many things about taking care of a baby that I've barely brushed the surface of learning. So I feel a lot of pressure that there's a lot that I haven't done there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So my to-do list just feels kind of endless at this moment in my life. And I feel like I'm just trying to get everything done before this baby comes. And at the same time, I feel the pressure that, you know, we only have 3 months left. And this is the period of my life pre-baby, pre-biggest life-changing moment I think I will ever face, and I wish I could actually enjoy these months, you know, but I also feel like I can't. So for me, I think I want to stop saying yes to so many things, and I want to be more selective with what I say yes to, and I really want to put that into practice. I realized from COVID and from this pregnancy that my energy is so limited, and these days I fight like fatigue, and I'm literally trying to work, and then I'll fall asleep and nap for like 3 hours, and then I'll feel guilty, and I'll wake up, and I'll work again until like 3 a.m., which I know is like so unhealthy, but that's how I'm just getting things done right now, and I don't know. I think going forward, I'm going to try and be very, very selective with my time and protecting my energy. And it's hard for me to do that, but I think I have to try and implement that in these next 3 months or so.
Thank you for sharing that, Helen. I can definitely see for you coming from such a like intense lifestyle of working such an intense career and then the transition to go into ABG, right? And I mean, you starting a company, you're an entrepreneur now, that is also a different type of lifestyle. And then now you're building a family, but you're just used to going at such a fast pace, right? And it's you and your partner, and Phil is also that way. And it's like now your body's like physically telling you, we can't do this anymore. And thank you for sharing your goal with us, because I think that means that as friends, we can help you be held accountable to like rest, take time for yourself, you know. And I think this is one of those things where it's really hard when you're going through it, but I know you're going to build something amazing out of this, meaning your habits are going to change for the better and you're going to find your stride and your way to refigure out like what it is that you want to accomplish. And then you're going to find ways to be able to do them even more effectively and efficiently, because I know that's the kind of person you are. And it takes time to kind of shift the mindset also that more is not always like better or more effective, right? So yeah, it's you, I don't know how you're going through all, you manage things so amazingly, because you're going through like 3 to 4 major life things at the same time.
No, thank you for that, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, when I like, I think when I'm during the day-to-days, I feel tired, and then when I look, even like with this whole pregnancy, I'm like, yeah, it's been tough, but then at this moment I look back, I'm like, oh, it's been okay, like I've been able to survive it, you know. So it feels like I can take on more, but then I know that I should be like, no, just I don't know, maybe I log everything down too, because I want to remember like, this is what you felt and this was really really bad first trimester, this, don't forget these like feelings, you know. But even when I read it, I'm like, but you survived it, you know. So maybe that's just like how I'm built, I don't know, maybe it's just how I think.
Do you also think that maybe as a person, you really love the feeling of overcoming challenges? Like that's something.
I do. Yeah, I really do. I think that's definitely a thing where, I mean, I value very highly like growth and excellence in everything that I do. And I think I'm also the type of person that just kind of, if there is a negative something, I tend to forget it pretty easily. Whether it's like an argument or like a negative something in my life, it is very easy for me to move on from it.
I see.
I don't know.
So you're afraid that you're not taking that lesson from the pain that you went through to when you think about future Helen, you're kind of forgetting some of the negative things.
Yeah, but yeah. I guess it's also like a good way to live. So I don't know. Y'all, this is turning into therapy session. This is about mid-autumn moon festival.
I'm trying to get this energy out.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, to renew, restore, give myself energy, it is making sure that I am actually just saying yes to things that I want to do, and otherwise just really protecting my energy, especially within these next 3 months, which is such a short period of time. So that's how I'm going to move forward.
Yeah, that's good. And if it's helpful, maybe also thinking outside of yourself to your child too, like you're protecting your energy and your child's energy, and sometimes that's can help you push.
That's true.
That's beautiful.
How about for you, Jay?
When it comes to renewal, restoration, and like increasing energy, I have two kind of things that I'm working on. One is my sleep routine. I think I've talked about this a lot, and I've always, from a young child, struggled with insomnia and being a night owl, and sometimes having really good sleep and really consistent sleep, and sometimes not having that. But as I get older, the consequences of not having consistent and good sleep is like bearing on me more and more. So for this next year, I think like getting meditation down, getting exercise, getting food down, I've authentically explored, and it's not perfected by any means, but it's like I have enough tools in my toolkit for those areas. But sleep, I haven't quite tackled yet. So this next year, I really want to try to sleep earlier, sometime between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m. If I can't sleep earlier all the time, at least be consistent so that during the week, I'm like going to bed around the same time. And also on the weekends, I used to like then it's like, oh, if I do really well on the weekdays, then on the weekends I would end up like sleeping really late, and trying to just like not be so wide in the dynamic of that sleep pattern, even on the weekends, to try to sleep kind of a little earlier. And one thing I've been doing is I've been drinking the Sleepy Time Tea. It's the brand is Traditional Medicinals Organic Nighty Night Tea, original flavor with passion flower. And I've been drinking this. I've had the box for like over a year or so, but just now every night I have that, and I find it as like a good ritual to have to help me
my brain be like, now it's about bedtime. We're going once we have the tea, in about an hour, we're going to get into bed. Mm. And then the other thing that I know a lot of people struggle with is putting your phone away. Mm-hmm. I think because for me, like, I just take, that's my time usually to, like, catch up on Instagram. But now I realize, like, instead of just saying, no, I can't do that, I have to do something else with my phone actively. So what I do is I will play sleep music. And I play it from my phone. So then it's like, I can't be on Instagram because the phone needs to be playing music for me to go to bed. Oh, so I'll like turn on the music, and then that forces me to like, I can't use my phone then. Mm-hmm. So sleep routine, getting that down. The other thing is my alcohol consumption, which I've also talked about multiple times on this podcast. My kind of like where I've been in the last couple of months is I have been moderating how much I drink on a weekly basis. And over the past couple of months, I'd say I'm pretty happy with that consumption level about half the time. Half the time, I'm not so happy with it. So the kind of new approach I'm taking going forward for the next year is I want to make it a goal to not drink on the weekdays and restrict my drinking to only the weekends. And I think if that consumption starts to crawl up, then I'm going to take another period of sobriety. Mm. And I've done this before, back and forth, and I think what is different this time is my mindset now is I look at it as alcohol to me is the way sugar is to someone who's diabetic. I know it's a weakness if I let it go out of hand. Mm. But if I cut it out completely, I probably am not going to go for too long before I have a lot, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So instead of thinking of it as the goal is to get to a place where my relationship with alcohol is going to be always completely balanced, it's like I'm going to learn to just get stronger and surf with the highs and the lows. Mm. I don't know if that makes any sense, and maybe this is for another episode, but for me, I know that in order to renew and restore, that that this is something that I am working on. And it's I feel like I have made good strides in the last year, and I'm excited to continue. The other thing is I have started kind of seeing someone occasionally, not formal, and it's still very, very new, but a big part of our relationship is like sharing with each other kind of like things that we're working on or how we can support each other. And I think that having another person motivate me and support me so directly like that is another thing that is different from past times. So, yes.
Oh shit, Jay talked about it.
Thank you for sharing that, Jay. I feel like we've seen your journey on this podcast with like your sleep and with alcohol and things like that, and as a friend I see that. I feel like you're doing very well, especially, well, maybe because I'm pregnant and I can't drink. I'm not forcing you to drink with me because I'm such an instigator, but I feel like there's been a lot more like just progress there where it's like you're not like reaching for that extra one, or like, you know, there's not like that impulse to, you know, overdo things anymore. And I'm like, okay, I as a friend, and I guess I haven't told you this before, but like I see that change, and that makes me very happy to see that.
Aww.
Yeah, stop. Yo, we are at retreat right now. Someone's gotta cry at retreat during these recordings all the time. And it's not me.
Oh, thank you. I actually haven't really been thinking about like how that has played out differently socially. But yeah, I guess I have felt like, I think when I'm just happier, I'm not looking for the escape.
Yeah. Do you feel like you are happier also because of this new person in your life? Like that has sort of stabilized it a little bit?
Yeah. I know that it definitely plays a role.
Does he also, I'm sure you've had talks about all of this, like he's aware, and does he also try to help you out there? Yeah.
He actually said something which is, I was a little afraid to share this with him because you never know. You're like, this is a thing. And look, I want to give you the out card because it's a lot to deal with someone who's struggling with things. But even though everyone struggles with things, not verbatim this, but he shared something about like, oh, well, you've tried things before, but this time, like, I'm here, you know? And I was like, oh, at first I was like, that's really sweet. But also you think you can like, you are going to be the thing that changes all this for me that I've been trying to shift myself for like over a decade. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to help you do the things to like get over this. So it's like, that's a really good way to think about it. Like, I'm here to support you, and I'm going to help support you so that you solve this yourself, kind of thing.
Damn it.
Dang. So-
I know. Helen and I, we haven't met this person yet, but we're already fans.
He's a keeper.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
So we're going to now jump into the meaning behind the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival, which we're still talking about right now. But according to Wikipedia, the festival celebrates three fundamental concepts. Okay, so the first one is gathering with friends and family. This is rooted in harvesting crops for the festival, with the moon being the biggest and roundest on this day. Number two is Thanksgiving, so giving thanks for the harvest or harmonious unions. And the third concept is praying, asking for conceptual or material satisfaction, such as babies, a spouse, beauty, longevity, good fortune, etc. So with these three fundamental concepts in mind for this festival and this holiday, let's focus on the first one. With whom and how do you plan to gather more in the coming year? And in light of COVID, this might be interesting, but who are the people that you plan to gather more with this year?
My family, since I've moved back to LA, I've started spending more time with my extended family. And that's like cousins and uncles and aunts. Over COVID, though, we totally minimized our hangouts. And also over COVID, my cousin gave birth to twins. Mm. And in the last couple of months, my other cousin found out she's pregnant and is actually going to be moving back to LA by the end of this year. So
Daphne's moving back.
Yeah, so she's coming back to LA. And I, for me, when I think about where I'm going to focus my energy to gather, I'm really excited to consciously make more time for my extended family. And here's the thing, not necessarily for all of us to get together, because that's hard to get everyone's schedules, like everyone from babies who are going to be now newborns to grandparents and my dad who's like in his 70s and all the adults in between managing careers and different things like that. But I want more intentionally to do closer one-on-one gatherings. And I've been kind of implementing this with my cousin Stacy, where I will just drop by on random weekdays when I can to not just give her an extra hand with her four children that she's managing now and sometimes kind of home alone at times, but also it's like being able to just like kind of build a deeper relationship with her and then also get some practice in, because, you know, I feel like that's like I have all these nieces and nephews and I would love to have kids someday. And I learned so much just from being around her and seeing, you know, how to do all the baby things. Mm-hmm. And then I also really want to focus on building one-on-one relationships with my nieces and nephews, because they're starting to grow up and turn into little people now. And that's something I really want to foster. So how about you, Mel?
I love that your family, your extended family, is growing more family members. And I think they're mostly girls. Right?
Oh my God, yeah. Well, our family does have a lot more women than men.
I've always thought, just to give context, so Janet's cousins are mostly females, and now that her cousins are also having kids, most of them are also girls too.
Yeah.
So kind of like the second generation or wave of the,
You
know, get it. More AB Drews.
Yeah.
For me, I do have one more 30th birthday to attend this year, and it's of my really close friend, Tiff, from college. Mm. She was my roommate. Like, she lived in the same room with me for 3 years. So she's my last 30th birthday of the year. And so with that group of friends, they just represent a lot of, like, really great things for me. Like, it's Tiff, Sally, and all my college friends. There's, like, a big group of us. And I'm excited to spend more time with them because they remind me of, like, this nostalgia of college, of where everything was carefree. Mm-hmm. And I will say they're a group of friends that I feel like I'm someone that's always in my head a lot. And when I'm with them, I'm always in the present moment. And I was like, dang, I didn't notice that until, like, I reflected back on our hangouts together. I'm just like, wow, I was like, me and Zal are talking, like, why do we have such a good-ass time together? Like, I don't know. I think we just genuinely love each other in the moment. We don't care about what we do. We don't care about any of that stuff. She's like, I don't know what half of the jobs our friends do because I don't understand it because they work in medical. We're just like, oh, yeah, cool, you're a doctor, which is amazing. But I think when I'm with them, it brings me to a place where, like, I feel really happy. So I have one more birthday with them. And speaking of, you know, holidays and getting together, I did call my mom about this episode and I mentioned about the Mid-Autumn Festival and she's like, oh, we don't really celebrate it. And she's like, oh, why don't we celebrate it this year? And I was like, oh, that's really nice. She's like, you know, we're all going to be together. And I have an uncle who's actually coming from town that we don't see a lot. So she's like, why don't we do a barbecue this year together? Because she said, oh, yeah, I remember as a kid in Taiwan, I did a barbecue for a Mid-Autumn Festival or something like that. We could do that here. So I was like, okay. So I think my mom... I liked how that little combo of asking her, how do we celebrate, became let's celebrate. So it's like an action thing. Yeah. So going to do this with my family, which I'm really excited for. And I think episodes like, you know, the Mudan Festival, Chinese New Year celebrations, or just hearing how you both celebrated with your family and how we definitely want to carry this tradition onto our own little families and our crew in LA. I think I really want to do more of these things with our LA group. Because I think the thought that's setting in for me that with our group of friends is that, you know, to be honest, like, I didn't have a lot of, like, cousins my age, you know, growing up or having anyone older to look up to, like, you know, just kind of hang out with at these celebrations. Like, I was wondering to myself, why was I always felt like I'm alone at these family gatherings? It's because I'm the oldest. And all my siblings or my cousins are much younger. So when I had these family gatherings, it didn't feel as lively or fun for me, to be honest. And so when I think about our group of friends, you guys are probably the closest thing I have to that, like a family here in SoCal. And so I think when we did the Chinese New Year dinner at Helen Phil's, I really, really liked it because I felt like I wasn't being in touch with my culture, but also like we're setting these traditions for our friends. And like I could just foresee our kids growing up in that environment with each other. And it makes me really excited. So for us to start that now with our group of friends in LA, I really want to do that, whether it's like traditional things like Mid-Autumn Festival or just Thanksgiving or Christmas stuff that we can start doing and setting for our friends and our kids.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for these things, of these kind of gatherings for this year.
Me too. I'm excited for those too. And for anyone out there who is feeling the same as, you know, as Mel is feeling right now, where it's like maybe you felt like you didn't have a lot of these celebrations growing up, like you can be the first to implement that or maybe bring it up to your family members and see if they do know about it and they're just like, oh, you care about this? Yeah. Like, okay, yeah. I care about it too. I didn't think you cared about it. Let's, you know, let's do something about it. But yeah, you can be the first to really be proud of and want to uphold, you know, your culture and your traditions.
And then Helen, how about you?
So for me, like, I honestly have no idea what the next year is going to look like. I've never been so uncertain in my life. Like, I usually have a good sense of, okay, this next year is gonna Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, this is what it's gonna maybe look like. But now I'm just like, I have no fucking clue. So I feel like my energy is going to be focused very much on my nuclear family, which is kind of crazy to think about. It's like, that's me and Philip. It's like, oh, it's me and Philip and another thing now. But, you know, just taking care of this very vulnerable human that is currently punching me in my body, which is kind of crazy. But like, once that comes out, I have to take care of it. But, you know, I know I'm going to need my family and my friends for just like support, mental support, social support. So for me, I don't know what's going to happen, but I just know that the people around me will probably be just the closest people in my life. And otherwise not trying too hard to like meet up with people that, you know, might not give me the energy that I need. So as I mentioned earlier about protecting my energy, and I'm going to take this from a fellow mommy friend that I was talking to about how she was protecting her energy. And when we were meeting up, and she was still, you know, expecting and pregnant, she said, I only want to hang out with my family, closest friends, and other moms. Everyone else, I don't care about. I'm like, I think for me, that might be where I am right now, you know? And I'm kind of expecting it to be that way next year, too. But again, I have no clue. So, yeah, those are the people that I will be gathering with.
I think that's a great way, given what you had mentioned about how you plan to restore and renew to protect your energy, is to keep it very focused. More focused, the better. And then if there's extra room for more people or other, you know, other things, then great. But yeah, I'm excited. Same. I'm so excited to see not only like for the new addition. But I think for you, this is like such a big moment of growth for you. And you've always talked about how it kind of like the act two. Mm. I think this is the beginning of that.
Mm. Yeah. Act two, y'all.
Yeah.
Stop kicking me. Actually, keep kicking me.
Maybe the baby wants to join in on the conversation.
Maybe. Yeah. It's been kicking a lot during this trip. And Janet was saying, oh, maybe it likes the ocean. Because we're by ocean the ocean air. Right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I can relate. But no, I'm over here being like hella selfish. Like, oh my God, maybe the baby likes our voices.
Yeah, that too.
The baby knows it's aunties.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the second fundamental concept of this holiday, which is giving thanks. So what are you most thankful for at the moment?
Let me see. I would say top three or four, maybe five things. Number one, I am very thankful for my family. I grew up being such a little shithead of a kid. I threw tantrums at my family in public. I didn't listen. I still don't listen. But I was like a really bad kid, as a lot of you OG listeners here will probably know by now. But I mean, I could even say that at one point, like I hated being around my family, and hate is a very strong word. Mm. Now I see how much I need them, and I am very thankful that they didn't abandon me. I'm thankful that they still love me as much as they do, and that I don't have to change any part of me for them to fully accept me for who I am as a human. I'm also very thankful that my mom is such an amazing mom, and I think I've realized this more now that she is a grandmother to my sister's kids. She is incredibly meticulous and thoughtful and kind-hearted when it comes to, you know, raising kids and taking care of family. So I'm super excited for her to be around when I have my kid, because she's going to come and visit and take care of my kid for, you know, the first month and do all the Chinese traditional things that we will talk about in the future. Not looking forward to not washing my hair or taking showers, but she's very traditional. But at the same time, I'm just very thankful to know that she is this person. And this is the type of person that I guess I didn't know really growing up. I was like, oh, she's just a mom. But now I'm like, oh, you're a good mom. And that makes me very, very thankful to know. Mm. Two, I am very thankful for Philip. We've been through so much together, from this crazy roller coaster of a relationship, again, as y'all know, that included a lot of fights, to, you know, getting to this place of just understanding and always choosing each other and always choosing love. And it's crazy because it's like we barely fight now because we just get each other. We've been through so much that we just understand each other now. He's been so patient with me throughout my pregnancy and listening to me. I swear every second I'm just like, oh my God, my back is killing me. He's like, it was killing you last second. But I just keep complaining about it because I'm like, yo, this shit hurts. Pregnancy hurts. But, you know, he's been very stable throughout this whole journey with me. My roller coaster of hormonal mood swings. He'll always be like, oh, we going to the theme park again? He's like, the swings, we going back on the swings now? Like, damn, the roller coaster. But, you know, he's been such a rock for me through all of this, so I'm very thankful for him. Thirdly, for my friends and for you ladies, I think in my mid-20s, I honestly didn't think that I'd find more super close girlfriends, but you ladies have changed that perspective for me, and I am very thankful for the support that, you know, you two have given me, and for the ability for us to build this company of ABG together and work on this as our full-time thing and to live out our dreams together. Like, the possibilities are infinite, and it really feels that way when we're together, because it really feels like we can do anything, and that's so amazing. But above all, I think the fact that we are friends first and really like family at this point is something that I really cherish and I'm thankful for. Yo, my hormones it's going off right now. But thank you, ladies. Lastly, I would just say I'm thankful for my health. There was a long period of time in my life that I was very unhealthy, to the point where at one point in my life, I would rather forego things like having my own family or even thinking about having a baby. And times where even, I would say, like, death felt easier than life itself. So thinking about all of that and thinking about where I am right now, I feel very thankful for my health and where I am both physically and mentally with my life. I've never been happier, and I am just so thankful for the person that I am now to bring this new baby into this world as a healthy, happy, grounded mother who has found inner peace, at least at this place in my life, and has an amazing support system with all the people that I mentioned earlier. And I think, to be honest, other than family, friends, and health, nothing else really matters to me at this point. Obviously, mm-hmm. I still value, like I mentioned in the previous podcast, like growth and excellence and the pursuit of greater things. But at this moment, the things I'm very thankful for are things that do align so well with my value system. And it is the family, friends, and health. And that is what I am very thankful for right now.
Thank you for sharing that, Helen. I realize that this is probably one of the first times we're having a more in-depth conversation where you've had time to more process your pregnancy and all the things that you're thinking of. So it's really beautiful to hear you share all of that. And I think for anyone to understand that that this is a really big pivotal moment mm-hmm. in your life, right? When you bring another and look at all the like personal self-awareness that it's prompting from you.
I think hearing Helen talk, it kind of shows that like you're kind of eliminating the things that maybe in the past mattered, but in the core of who you are and where you are now, especially during this change, these are the true things that really matter in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I think it's also realizing that these were the things that always mattered.
Yeah.
But that there was so much like fluff and mm-hmm. things that you try to attain and things that ultimately are nice to haves. But at the core of it, these are the things that come down to when you're giving life to someone else, when you, you know, get down to the core of who you are and who you want to be for this person. It's like, these are the types of things I need in my life to fully support me and get me to the next stage.
Yeah
And that applies to all, you know, time periods of your life, not just in pregnancy, but like in everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are the basis for your act too.
Mm-hmm.
yeah Woo! Okay, how do I follow that?
Cry.
Yeah. So when I think about what I am thankful for at this moment, I thought of a very specific memory that happened just in the last like 2 or 3 weeks. I've shared through probably not I don't know if I shared on the podcast, but kind of through maybe some of our Instagram and our vlogs, that I was taking a meditation teaching certification program. And I the deadline for graduation for that program was, I think, 2 weeks ago. And in order to graduate, I had to run a mock course. The course itself is 3 days and 90 minutes each day, or each session that happens once a day for 3 days. And there were many times throughout this like 10-week program where I was really enjoying it at first, but then it got to a point where I was like, the reality of having to teach and like memorize scripts and like do all these things and really understand and be able to like answer people's questions when they ask around some of these like very questions around meditation, I started getting a little bit of cold feet and also thinking, I never wanted to back out, but I was like, maybe I'll just ask them to put me in the next like cohort so that I have a little bit more time. Because, you know, like I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm doing ABG stuff and I'm doing other things. Maybe this is just like not the right time. But during the course, we would gather. We have like Zoom calls every other week. And in the course, the lead instructor was like, there are going to be things that come up and excuses that you have to not get through this that are going to be kind of your own personal challenges, and it's going to be different for everyone. And I think for me, facing that confrontation when he was like, think deeply about why you're maybe turning away. Does this reach to something deeper? And I was like, oh. The takeaway theme that he kind of gave me at the end of my graduation was, I think you have a tendency to make mountains out of molehills. You don't understand how capable you really are. So I hope you understand that. Like, when it came to this, he's like, I knew from the moment you signed in, like, this is something that is a good fit for you. But you kind of questioned yourself and you were like, oh, this is not the right time. He's like, that. Yeah. So that was very personally insightful. But the moment that I was really thankful for was because I was like, fine, I got to push through this and I have to do that like mock course. I had to find people to be fake students, right? And I had mentioned this to you ladies. I think at some point I was like, maybe I'll reach out to Helen and Mel. But I had procrastinated so long that by the time I needed, I literally had 1 weekend left, a couple days left to do this. And everyone had busy schedules. You guys were both off like running errands or having personal family things. So I was like, okay. I like just like texted my group, my family group, because I knew my parents are going to be there. I was like, can you guys just like sit in for me while I do this thing? And they're like, yeah, sure. And it ended up being such a beautiful experience because part of the intro of the course, I had to explain why I went into meditation and why I wanted to teach it. And because I was very vulnerable in that introduction, I had to go through then and ask each of my quote-unquote students why they were interested in meditation. And my dad, my mom, and my sister all gave pretty vulnerable answers. And it ended up turning into almost like a family therapy session where they were just very openly kind of sharing things and we were supporting each other. And then after that, my sister and my dad, actually after the course, they've continued now a week to 2 weeks later, continuing to do the daily practice twice a day. So I am so incredibly thankful for that experience, because not only is meditation something that I have really valued that has brought benefit in my life, but being able to hear my family vocalize real needs or reasons for what they want the meditation to fulfill in their life, and then to see them actually pursuing that, is just making me feel really connected with them and appreciative that we had that opportunity to share those things with each other and to deepen our relationship. So yeah, that was a moment that I was really thankful for recently, and that I'm going to focus on kind of going into this period of fall and autumn and forward.
I love that. I love that you're bringing your family into mm-hmm. your passions. And, you know, and I know you shared with us that they have continued their meditation programs mm-hmm. without you there, too. So yeah. You're making this, like, impact on their lives. That's really touching to hear, Jay.
Yeah, and I like that you're also learning more things about your family members that you probably wouldn't have learned unless you were doing this course with them.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies. Yeah, so that's what I'm thankful for this period. How about you, Miss Mel?
Dang, I don't know why I'm getting emotional. And that's not because of my answers. I think I'm just, like, realizing both your answers, I'm, like, processing in the moment.
What are you processing?
Yeah.
I think maybe it's, like, I feel emotional because I think deep down I think what you guys are both going through, like, I understand. But I wish I just had a deeper understanding so I could empathize more with you guys. And I feel disconnected because I can't. So I feel kind of bad. You know what I mean? Like, all the struggles you guys are both sharing, it's, like, I could see on an individual level why you guys are both, like, struggling. And I get it. But it's really, I think this is, like, one of the first few times I'm just, like, man, I can't fully really get it because I'm not you both. I'm not going through those same things. And I think for me, it makes me feel sad because, like, I think as someone that really values friendship, it just makes me feel like I wish I could just be more there for you all and, like, truly understand, like, 100% what you both are going through. But I just can't.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think, I mean, there's no one's going to understand what exactly it is we're going through, yeah. You know? And I think I think it's, like, harder for me and Jay to, like, open up and share, like, about this stuff, too.
Yeah.
So it's, like, these moments where they're coming out and you're just like, whoa, where'd this come from? So it's a little bit, I mean, for me personally, I would say that it's, like, on me, too, to, like, I think I'm, I don't know. It's, feelings are not easy for me to talk about, but when we're prompted to.
I know.
These mid-autumn moon festival outlines.
Maybe it's the moon giving us the energy. Yeah. But I think it's more, like, it's the reality of, like, I think me realizing that, like, it's not, no one's at fault or whatever. It's just, well, I think sometimes, like, it's that feeling with when you care about someone, you're like, I wish I could do something. Yeah. But in reality, it's like, I really, like, there's, I'm doing what I can as in my role.
For sure.
I think just sometimes when I hear about, like, I think it's just funny because on a basic level, we hear this from high school. It's like, you want to give them advice or things like that. But I think now that I'm seeing that, maybe I'm feeling the change and big transition of all three of us going to do separate things. Like, I know Jay, like, obviously, like, dating someone new, and then, like, you're going through, like, you know, fixing your sleep schedule and, like, alcohol intake. And I think it's something I understand when you explain it to me. But for me, it's like, to be honest, as someone who hasn't struggled with that, I don't have that level of, like, deep understanding, right? And I think with Helen, like, again, like, first friend being pregnant, and like, when you tell me all these things, I'm just like, oh, like, what can I do? Like, I can help you, like, grab things if your back is hurting, or, like, I want you to find friends that could relate, that you can relate to, that you're going through these things. But I think for me, I'm just like, I just really want to help.
Yeah.
I don't really know how.
Yeah. I will say that what you do is, like, more than enough.
Yeah.
Like, just, if it's, like, on a, like, relative to, like, what other people do, like, you two do, like, way more than enough.
Yeah.
Than I could have, like, ever. That's why I'm, like, that's why you're part of my thankful list. Yeah, yeah. Like, the support system feels like it's there, and it feels like it's real, you know? But it's, like, you are one person that can't, like, solve all our problems, and it'd be nice to, and that just shows that you want to be, like, a really good friend. But I think that's a lot of burden to take. And it's also, like, not possible to do because you don't know exactly what it is that we're going through either.
I think also, like, the fact that we're saying this has always been the sacred space, right, of what we've created with the podcast and these conversations.
Yeah.
So you being a critical part of that, that is the biggest gift you're giving, is being one of three in this support system of being able to have these conversations and just feel supported and to feel heard.
Yeah.
That's the biggest gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
No, it's not weird. I think it makes sense. Also, it's like if you value friendship and you always have been able to, in past experiences, like basically execute on that value, mm-hmm. and now you feel like you can't, mm-hmm. I can understand why you're like feeling like, where's my identity too, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, like this is usually, I can make people feel better. I can help them solve their problems. Yeah. But know that the best role you can play right now is exactly what we're doing, which is listening, wanting to help, and then just providing the space for us to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hopefully we can do that for you too. Because of course we've both gone through your age, but we haven't gone through exactly what you're going through and what you're working through in your values too, right? Because every person is different.
Yeah. I think I also just feel kind of like, I like how this literally turned to a therapy session on the recording. So this is, we didn't expect this at all. I think it's also a feeling of like, this sounds really weird. I don't know if anyone else relates to this, but I think this is one of the first times like in my life, I'm not being helpful. Like I know I am maybe in my own way, but it's like, I kind of want to understand both your pain so I could truly identify what you guys are going through, so I could feel for you even more. Mm. And I think it bothers me that I can't, you know? Mm. Like, for example, when someone goes through a breakup, it's like, oh, I know how that feels. I went through one. Mm. Or like, I could really empathize for you. But then with these situations or whatever you guys are personally going through, I'm like, oh, I don't. Yeah. I wish I could kind of.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, I want to feel your pain, but right, like, so right. I could help identify and like.
Yeah, I think it shows that throughout our friendship, I think we've been super, maybe like on the same page with like a lot of things. And then now it also feels a little more like disconnected. Mm. You know, it's like, oh, well, you're like going through this thing that I have no idea, but we're supposed to be like on the same page about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So what is this thing that you're going through? And because you've never experienced it or you don't know how to help, it just feels like you're more distanced and maybe removed. And because you value friendship so much, that feeling of like the distance or disconnected, maybe scares you.
Yeah. That's the therapy answer right there. Yeah, but I think that's something I've been feeling. And I was like, oh shoot, this is why I feel kind of awkward.
Yeah.
So
it's also the transitions, whether it's like our own personal transitions or even close people to us, like they have to go through the transitions with us too, right?
Yeah.
And that's like, for them, they have to go through that.
Yeah.
Transitions are always fucking weird.
Yeah.
So you're always going to feel that weirdness too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for putting into words what I've been feeling. I think I was just like, I feel weird. I just don't know why. I mean,
it's good to talk it through because it's like, I do that all the time. Like, why do I feel fucking weird right now?
Where's this fucking coming from? Is Mercury in retrograde?
Yeah. Where's the fucking moon? Yeah. It just shows that you really care. Like, the level of depth of the care is what is resulting in these feelings.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd be like, you know, I'm here. I got you whenever you need. And that's it. But yeah.
Thank you. But speaking of thankfulness, I'll answer the question now. But again, thank you both for sharing your responses. I was definitely sitting here processing and understanding like what you guys are both going through or the best that I can. And building my own perspective on your both situations. Mm-hmm. The things I am thankful for, I'll do my last one first, actually, because it kind of connects to what we're talking about. And I wrote that I'm thankful for the moment right here with you both. I think it feels like it's been a while since we actually caught up, like, legitimately in, like, a kind of, like, it feels like a very casual setting. And I feel like this retreat, it just feels like, I don't know, just something that feels very relaxing this time around. And I think I really miss just spending time with you both, because I think the last times we're together, it's either in a group setting or like we're in a meeting. It's like we know we're in meeting mode. But I think with this retreat, I love when we add the emotional touch of, it's a reminder of our friendship. And I think that's something I want to be reminded of from time to time, because I know we always say friendship comes first for the business, but I know we have fun and we like really, we catch up on like pretty much on like the weekly basis, but I think I miss the in-depth moments we have with each other. And I think in moments like this, it reminds me of like, you both aren't just friends to me. You guys are truly my family. And that's something I don't take for granted. And I think it's really, for me, this is like, I don't feel like this with anyone else. And I think our connection with you two especially, it's just something it's very, very special and sacred to me that I'm very thankful for. And I think that leads to my second thing I'm thankful for is the stillness and quiet of certain days when I'm given the space to be with my thoughts and actually have time to process or do the deep work to realize, because I think without that moment of silence, I'm not able to like come to these realizations like, man, I really like love these two people, or like these moments I really feel like I'm regaining my strength or things like that, because I didn't realize how finding time can be so tough. Mm-hmm. I think that also listening to what Helen, you know, you're like, I really want to just like say no to certain things and make sacred time for yourself. I'm like, wow, it's easier said than done, because finding time during a busy day when you're so used to your patterns and you just want to accomplish so much, how do you find time really? And so I think when I was able to finally find time at my retreat, I was like, dang, I really like value this so much. And I'm willing to slow down for those moments. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I'm really thankful for. And the last thing, this is, sounds more like random that I'm thankful for, but I'm very thankful for my Korean drama club.
Yeah.
I started a Korean drama club with my good friend Anna called Soulmates. And I think it's the first time that I've, in a long time, where I'm doing something out of a hobby. Like, I used to not have hobbies to list out, but like having people that I could connect with on just like, oh, I like Korean dramas. Do you like Korean dramas? To just like talk about and not feel like, I don't know. It just feels really fun to just like fangirl over something that we all like. And I think for me also to know that like, oh, this is also part of Mel that I forgot that I had. Mm-hmm. It's like a reminder of part of my identity in some weird way. And like, I think the one thing that I took away from the Korean drama club is because we do meetings after watching every drama, that I actually remember that I really like bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And connecting others with each other. And I'm like, and after the meeting, I'm like, I feel so great. And like, it wasn't even something I'm like, oh, I need to post on social. Oh, we had this gigantic meeting. It's more like, you know what? Like, I really enjoy that moment that I had with these strangers that I was able to connect with. And so I'm really thankful for like I think it's more like reminders of what I value, who I am, and things that bring me joy. So yeah, that was what I'm thankful for.
I am very proud of you, Mel, for having created that, because I know for a long period of time you were sort of like searching, mm-hmm. you know, you're like, what is my identity? What do I care about outside of ABG, outside of the Asian community? And I'm like, Mel, K everything, K drama, K dance. Like, this is one of Mel's common sayings. Can we learn this K dance or K-pop dance, K dance? Like, it's a very authentic thing to you that you love the culture and you love the celebrities and the hot men and and you love the K-dramas and the fact that you created something to bring people together. And yes, like you were saying, you're also a hugely community-driven person.
Yeah.
You love bringing people together as much as you like your quiet time where you can be, you know, more introverted and in your thoughts. You are naturally a very extroverted person that loves people and loves community and loves the feeling of being like supported, right? So the fact that you have built that, I'm just like, go Mel, go you. Very proud of you for that.
Thank you.
So the other week, Mel, Helen, and myself went to a beautiful brunch spot in West Hollywood with our whole team at Asian Boss Girl. This is the first time we were all able to meet in person. With COVID restrictions the last year and a half and us being such a new company, many of our team members had actually not met face-to-face yet. As you can imagine, this was a very special occasion, which called for some very special pieces from our wardrobes. A standout in my memory was Mel's Ana Luisa Michelle signet ring. The beautiful emerald green malachite stone was so vibrant and strong yet elegant, which to me signifies a lot of the traits of the women we are so lucky to work with on our team at Asian Boss Girl. Ana Luisa creates chic, timeless, conscious luxury that is affordable. Their pieces are sustainably crafted using recycled materials whenever possible, and they practice transparent business always. Go treat yourself and your loved ones and use our code AsianBossGirl to get 10% off. I absolutely recommend them. They are a great brand making beautiful, sustainable jewelry. Go check out shop.analuisa.com/AsianBossGirl and use code AsianBossGirl. That's AsianBossGirl for 10% off. So the third concept behind the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival is prayer or praying. What do you ladies pray for in the coming year?
Try not to be emotional with this one. Because I feel like as we're recording this episode, I feel there's a lot of like interconnectivity in an odd way. So what I prayed for is I pray for my close friends and family to be healthy and safe. I know it's something we all pray for, but I think in the times we're living in, I don't want to take it for granted. You know, with COVID, it's really hard. When I think about being healthy and safe, I also think about Helen's baby. Damn it! I don't want to cry again.
Wait, can I take a picture of this?
Bitch.
You're so fucking cute.
the reason why I'm getting emotional is because after hearing Helen talk about what she went through as my friend and as a woman, I really pray for this little one and her to have a safe and smooth delivery, because you never know. And sorry, I'm emotional because I just hearing Helen what she's been through, it just makes me, this prayer comes, it's harder than I expected. Yeah, so that's one thing you pray for. Shit.
Oh, the waterworks.
Yes. That baby better fucking love me too.
the baby will have to love Auntie Mel Mel and Auntie Janet.
Yeah. And I pray for the people who are in a period of change and transitions, including myself, that one, that we come out of it with more clarity, and two, that we never lose hope despite these low moments. And three, we remember that with the uncertainty of change, there's also the excitement of the unexpected. So I say this as a reminder, really, to myself, because I think I am definitely going through this period of uncertainty. But I just want to remind myself, like, uncertainty doesn't mean bad. It means it could be great in opening new doors and a start of something new. Not to quote High School Musical there. And how about you, Helen?
Oh, thank you, Mel. I didn't think that was one of your prayers, but I was like, aww. This baby's going to be so loved. And I feel very much like the support system is there. Like, I don't feel scared about that at all. And the fact that you two ladies are going to be the most amazing aunties and babysitters for my night out, you know, like, makes me incredibly thankful and happy that, you know, you two care so much about this little bubba. I guess I won't go into too much detail. I don't know. I feel like prayers are like sacred.
Yeah.
But I will say a lot of my wishes these days are, it's funny because it's like, it's not for like money, fortune, having status, being liked. Because when I think about my 20s, I would say those are the things that I did, you know, wish for. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I want to be rich. I want to get a house. I want to get a family. I want to get all of these things. And I think now that I'm in my 30s and have seen some level of the status, the fame, the fortune, etc., I don't feel a need to have so much of it anymore. I really don't. And I think now that I am in my 30s, I think no matter what, like I mentioned earlier, I very much value growth, excellence. And I think that having those as value systems will hopefully inevitably, it will lead to the things of fortune and being able to support myself and my family and things like that. But I've never been or felt more grounded in and thankful for the people that have raised and shaped me. So similar to you, Mel, my hopes and wishes now are usually more for the health and happiness for people that I love. And wanting people that I love to reach a level of contentment, like their souls settling from hardship and being content and happy, for them to feel fulfilled, to have growth within themselves, to feel productivity, and to find new opportunities. Because I think at the core of us, these are the things we need to pursue all the other things in life, like money, fortune, etc., right? And that is the health and deeply internal happiness for all of us. So that's usually what I wish for in a general sense. And I do feel like my wishes have gone from what used to be like 100% about me, like me, to now it feels like it's more like 75% for other people, including you ladies, and like the rest for myself. But it's a weird shift now that I'm reflecting on this, that this has changed within my hopes and wishes that I usually, you know, wish for.
Oh. That was beautiful. I know I resonate with both of you mentioning the health and happiness of your loved ones. The variation that I had on that in sharing kind of the recent moment that I was thankful for in sharing meditation with my family, I thought about wishing for their health and happiness in the form of, I hope that anyone who suffers, that suffering does not go in vain. Because I think that just the nature of being a human being, everybody suffers, right? Mm-hmm. And I hope that for every human life, that whatever you're suffering through, that you understand eventually why you suffered it and you find a way to make something out of it or a good reason to make peace with it. Mm-hmm. My second prayer is a little more selfish. So I think I shared that I recently started kind of like seeing someone or talking with someone or just getting to know someone on a more serious relationship potential level. And for anyone who followed at the beginning of this year, I also was starting to develop a fairly serious relationship. And because the nature of what we were both looking for, even though it didn't last for very long, I felt like it got very serious very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that I said I could see this person as my permanent partner. And I felt like I was getting to the place where I knew, I'm like, I need to let myself feel everything in order for it to be any potential of a chance. And I felt like I got a little bit burned, and not by the fault of this person at all. In hindsight, I think they were maybe just not emotionally available. But I think that on a very surface level, as a human being, if you open yourself up and then you feel like you got your hand slapped a little bit, I had naturally kind of a protective wall up, to the point where I'm like, logically, I know in order to, if what I want is to have a good, serious, intimate relationship, I need to be open. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't really know how to be, like, how do you just like will that, you know? Mm-hmm. I think this person that I'm talking to is also working through some things. And we kind of just said, if we focus on the present moment, allows us to not really get lost in the fear, in getting ahead of ourselves with too much excitement or whatever it is. So my prayer on a more immediate level for myself and for the person that I'm talking to is that we can both remain present and just serve whatever purpose we're meant to serve in each other's lives.
Hmm. Love that. That's not selfish at all, Jay. Yeah. That's not. I feel like knowing everything that you've been through with relationships, like, where are you? That'd be my number one. Yeah. I really want this to, you know, and I like how you ended that. It's not like I want this to work out. It's like, I want us to serve the purpose that we were meant to serve each mm-hmm. other mm-hmm. in this like period of our lives. And I think that's beautifully said. And I can already see that this person is making a huge impact on you too, and probably likewise you to him. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. Mel and I are crossing our fingers, and actually, let me add that, we're praying for you too.
I agree.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us on this part two of the Mid-Autumn Moon Festival episode. It definitely turned more into a therapy session than, you know, discussion about this festive holiday. But, you know, I think it's always nice to sort of dig deeper and also interpret these holidays for yourself and what we did with this. And thank you, Jay, for beautifully outlining mm-hmm. this one. But talking about the meaning of, you know, gathering and giving thanks, and also the prayer / wishing / hoping aspect of this holiday. That is very significant to, you know, what we do. And I remember with my family and these celebrations, we would do sort of all of these things, but never really digging deep into the meaning of what it is. Everything was very surface level. Like, mm-hmm. we're gathering a family. Okay, we're giving thanks by eating this food. Oh, we're buying scene, or like, you know, bowing to our ancestors. But with this, I think we're really digging deeper into what each of those concepts for this holiday means. And it was a very beautiful episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And if there are things that you are thankful for, prayers, wishes, hopes that you also want to share with us, let us know in the comments of our most recent IG post. We would love to read them.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support, or get some merch at AsianBossGirl.myshopify.com. If you resonate with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. If you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called GRBG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is AsianBossGirl.
And we have a couple of shout-outs for today's episode. Coming from Melbourne, Australia, from Sarah to Lily, hope you have settled in your job and are loving New York City. We miss you, love you from the Uni Girls. From Kelly to her bestie Jennifer, who is moving away from the Bay Area, she's an amazing human being and I'm going to miss her so much. Valerie from Roland Heights, California, wants to thank Crystal and Grace for being two of her most caring, motivating, and supportive friends. She loves you both and can't wait for what the future holds for all of you. Kathy in Ontario, Canada, is sending a shout out to our very own Helen Wu. You were a huge part of the reason I chose EY Canada during recruitment, and now I'm promoted to a senior staff. Oh, congratulations. Thank you for continuing to promote having a true work-life balance outside of the Big Four. From Seattle, Washington, Emma sending a happy 11 plus years to Nathan of never-ending joy, laughter, and love. Looking forward to our future together. From Antonio in Toronto to the amazing Christine, Madame Lee, I hope your first week of in-person learning goes amazing. You are awesome beyond words. Maggie in New York is wishing Paul a happy 25th birthday to her forever life purpose partner and best friend. She loves you more than all the stars in the sky. Liv in Austin is sending a shout out to Kelly, Zena, Madhu, Christy, Celine, and Jen, that's a lot of people, for being the best dog aunties to Dasher. Jen in Tampa, Florida is thanking her sister Janet for always being there for her when she needs you the most. Thank you so, so much. And finally, Anonymous Abby in San Francisco is sending this to anyone who needs to hear this right now. This is going to be good. Your worth is not defined by your biggest mistake, challenge, or your biggest achievement or success. You are good, you are great, and you are beautiful. There is only one of you in this world, and we are much better because of it. Keep on trucking and keep on being you. XOXO, a stranger and a friend. And that wraps today's shoutouts. If you'd like to send a shoutout to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio on Instagram and click on shoutouts.
And with that, we will catch you on our next episode.
Bye!